ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Scotty, my brother, how the hell are you? We're back after the Christmas holiday break. We got a full slate of bowl games running us through the end of the new year. Missed you, man. Things going well?
Man, yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Getting ready to go to D.C. tomorrow. Going to see the sights for a couple of days, then going to stay with a friend to watch games and New Year's, stuff like that. So it'll be fun. Going to see my buddy I went to the Army-Navy game with a few years ago. So
holidays,
should be fun.
Holidays, yeah. In the swamp. That sounds fantastic.
Yep. Isn't that right? There's nobody up there. That's the reason I'm choosing to go now. It's great.
Oh, my God.
I'm getting a tour of the Capitol, and the guy had to get somebody who was on vacation to come in and take us.
That's fantastic. Bowl season so far, what's your opinion as we've gotten this thing going?
You know what? It's been fun. The games have been fun. The weather. Boy, that Baylor game. You're talking about nobody wanting to be out there. And that, how about that dude that was painted green and in the gold writing it said under 43?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Sorry, that two-point conversion killed you, bro.
Yeah, that was fantastic. It was cold.
And you know what? It's been good, but I'm ready to get to, like, real games. Not many of these games that anybody care about.
No.
You know, here's the thing. Like, I think you used to, Mark, really be able to tell it was a good measure of conference versus conference in bowl games.
Sure.
10, 12 years ago. It's completely irrelevant now. I mean, that Florida team that hit the field is not remotely the same team that played Utah the first week of the season. Not even, I mean, hell, I didn't know who half those kids were. And I've been watching them all year. I mean, these rosters are a mess.
Oh, yeah.
And they have got, look, if we're really gonna expand the playoff, let's just go and really make it real. Let's go to 32. Let's go back to 10, 11 games. Let's get done. Let's can these bowl games and be done. I mean, that really is the truth, and I hate it because I do think one of the things that's led to the improvement of the quality of football was all these teams getting the additional practice weeks. Hell, none of those guys are there to improve.
No.
They're all in the portal. They're not practicing anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, half these teams are playing with 40 guys.
Yeah.
45 guys. Purdue, I don't know. They're like State last year. I don't know how they're going to dress out.
It's interesting, you know, because just was it last year? Yeah, last year when LSU played in the bowl game with 39 scholarship kids.
Same thing. And that was State kicked off with 39 that year, too. So, I mean, just crazy. I mean, it's just insane. You know, between COVID protocols and things like that, these last couple of years, man, teams have been playing with nobody. And you got to wait until the game is really about to kick off. Like, we don't even know, really. It looks like Anderson and Bryce Young are going to play for Bama. And if they do, well, then I think Bama wins the football game. But those dudes are out along with Gibbs and the guys we already think are going to be out. Then that changes the ball game. You know, so it's gambling's really hard, and it's really hard to do it. I think overs are really all you can bet a long way out. Now, I'll tell you, I bet Georgia and Michigan already, but that's just, you know, that's a little bit different because those guys aren't leaving. But at the end of the day, I am really confused on how to bet these games and what is really the future of the games with what's going on, because these kids just don't give a rip. I mean, don't care. And as a fan, do you really want to go and travel when your kids don't care? You know, you got 15 guys. And before we leave this, how about A&M having the most guys in the portal? I told you when they got this, and I think I said it on a podcast, that when they got that signing class last year, I said, I guarantee you less than half those guys finish at A&M. They're almost at half gone now.
Yeah, but that's not a surprise. I mean, that was a once-in-a-lifetime recruiting class for those guys. But their recruiting class they got this year coming in is good too. And I think that the evolution of the game is you get there, you got to get these kids on the field, get them acclimated to the locker room. And I think as fast as the kids are transferring, I think the coaches are letting it known, you may not be part of our future at this program anymore. And I don't think that part of the story is coming out, because no program wants to be known as somewhere you're going to go and the coaches are kind of pushing you out the door. But I think, I mean, I know for a fact several of the kids from A&M that were transferring out, like, they weren't welcome back next year anyway. And so,
oh yeah, I mean, the kid who's smoking pot in the locker room's obviously not.
Is that ungood? But I feel like
this
that's
number's this number's getting too big. They ain't forcing all these kids out.
No.
I think they're bailing on Jimbo.
I think there's a lot of that, but I think with anything else, I mean, if you can't figure out how to build a program and make it successful as quickly as possible when you're bringing in 4- and 5-star prima donna style athletes, they're going to leave quick, because these kids aren't used to sitting on the bench. They're not used to being told what to do, you know. And so they're, you know, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, I mean, Georgia, the programs that are there at the top, they're one of the few spots where people actually are going to say, okay, I'm a freshman, I can see the guy in front of me, and I'm not better than that guy. But I can sit here and I can learn and I can get better and I can grow from it. But that's part of the culture of the program. If you don't have that instilled now, then it's crazy, because these guys come in, they don't like what's going on within a year, they don't get the snaps, boom, they're out the door. And I think what's going to be interesting over the next couple of years is these kids come in and make this knee-jerk decision to transfer. Well, they can't do it again. They got to sit out a year. And so I think they take the easy way out once, and I won't be surprised if in another year we're going to start seeing them all petition the NCAA for a waiver on having to sit out and not, you know, and miss, not having to miss a year. And it's all bullshit. I mean, the fact that JT Daniels, I mean, granted, he's graduated, is going to what is fourth school? Is that right? Fourth school now? USC, Georgia, West Virginia, and Rice. And what I text you, yeah, he's going to play Texas for his third time, you know, at his third different school this
three
year.
Three different schools. Yep. Texas at three different schools. It is insane what's going on. Two things, I guess really three things. First, Bill O'Brien going to go back to the Patriots. Yeah, because his ass ain't going to be invited back to Tuscaloosa. No. I mean, that offense is a mess. I think that's really funny. One thing to leave before we leave all this, I'm a firm believer with NIL the way it is, they have got to do away with this transfer portal unless coaches leave or you're graduated. If coaches leave, take off. But, man, it is a free for kids are choosing schools just on money, and it's stupid. Another thing on NIL, how about Drake May coming out and being like, the $5 million was BS. That was nowhere close to that. These NIL numbers are not what you're seeing and hearing. And I can confirm that, because State's actually fairly competitive in the transfer portal with guys. And we don't have that much money. Ole Miss has taken out a loan to get to where they're trying to get. They're just hoping boosters are going to step up and pay the money.
Oh yeah.
But they've taken a loan out on NIL. I'm not even going to talk about how stupid that is, but that's a whole other story. The numbers are not what you're hearing.
I agree.
And people are not getting $5 million. They're not getting $1 million. There are linemen getting $8,000. There are linemen getting $5,000.
Sure.
There are really good defensive players getting $100,000. They're not getting $1.5 million. They're not getting – people are like – I mean, which this not to rip on your ex-Baylor Bear, but I don't know that there's many guys that play the game that seem as ill-informed as Robert Griffin is. That Bijan Robinson should stay at Texas, he can get $5 million in it. Well, no, he can't. Nobody's going to give a running back that. So, second, dude, you don't have very long as a running back to play in the NFL anyway.
Correct.
You better get there and get paid. I mean, look at Zeke.
Yeah.
That guy went from one of the best running backs in the NFL. He doesn't even start anymore.
No.
You know, to a guy who's drafted the same time he was. It is. Man, you go fast. You get a lot of licks. You get a lot of contact. And what did he say today? He said something. I read something else he said stupid. And I was just like, man, do they just give anybody with a microphone at ESPN and just see how loud they can yell? I mean, I think they all want to be Stephen A. Smith, and they need to just realize that dude had a niche.
Yeah.
You know, you can't all be Stephen A. Smith.
It's an interesting time. But, yeah, bowl games, this is – I love bowl season. I've always loved bowl season. I would tell you that the shine on the marble has diminished a little bit for me the last couple of years, especially this year. It's really hard to figure out who's going to be on these rosters as you're trying to follow the steam, follow the news. It's a lot more work than it used to be. That all being said, man, we got a couple of things. Luke Fickell going to Wisconsin. I thought that was a great coaching hire. Bringing Phil Longo over. Longo came out and said, I was holding out for a head coaching job, and when Fickell called to ask me to come to Wisconsin, I think that's interesting. I think the Big Ten is getting much better over time. And, you know, we talked about Fickell last year getting screwed for making the college football playoff, being in Cincinnati. But this – he fell into a great spot getting the Wisconsin head coaching job. I think he's a good fit for that part of the country. I think he's a good fit for that program. I think bringing Longo in there is interesting in a sense that we're going to open the offense up a little bit and see what they can do. So pretty excited about those things. But, yeah, all in college football. You can't even keep up with who's opted out and who's in the portal if you're trying to make bowl game rosters because it's – I think there's at least four teams that I know of that are going to take the field starting either today as we record this or this week, and they're going to have less than 45 kids on Scally that they think will be on the roster that have taken snaps that you've got from this standpoint. So it's going to be interesting as we get there. And you've got Coastal Carolina.
It's crazy.
McCall's going to play, and he's in the portal. He's like, hey, I'm going to play with my boys one more game, and then I'm out of here. I mean, what the fuck is going on? What? So
I'm fascinated to see where he ends up. Because he's not announced where he's going yet, right?
Not to my knowledge, no.
the interesting part, a couple of the guys that hit the portal for Mississippi State, oddly enough, with Will Arnett taking over, are coming. Yeah. I grew up with a kid named Will Arnett. Guys coming back that are in the portal, they got a chance to get a couple of those guys back. That should be interesting. How about Nebraska going out and getting some real money in NIL?
Yeah.
And actually getting involved in recruiting? That's going to be interesting. You know, so I'm interested to see how it works out. You mentioned Big 12 getting better. I think they are getting better. The team that is going to be, it's in my mind, very hard pressed to do something if Wisconsin elevates that offense and Nebraska gets even back where they're a 9-3 team. You know, if they get back to where they were under Pelini, is Iowa.
Yeah.
Because they're going to feel a lot of pressure to do something different. And I think they're the guy that could really get moved because I still think Minnesota's got some good things going on up there. They've had a lot of injuries where I think that team was a really good fight. I candidly think that team wins that division if that wide receiver doesn't get hurt early in the year. That was a good football team, but they've been good. I think Fleck's doing a good job. So I'm going to be fascinated to see how that side works out as we go forward. And Illinois obviously had stepped forward, but I'm going to be interested to see, can he keep it on the rails? You know, he had it going at Arkansas, too, and then it got derailed. So be interested to see, you know, how that translates in Champaign as well. But I agree with you. I think that league is getting better. And obviously you've got Michigan doing what they're doing, and they're getting very involved in the transfer portal as well. So it is going to be interesting to see now that Michigan getting – on track and Harbaugh's finally gotten them to this national championship level. They're 0-2. Ohio State's 0-2 against them now since talent and skill got closer. going to be interesting to see what Ryan Day can do. When's the heat start on him? You let him go over these next couple of years, go 1-2, where he's 1-4 against Michigan, and boy, it could be a problem. And you could certainly see his Michigan roster being good enough to beat them again next year at home with everything they've got coming back. Look like they got a great young quarterback. So it's going to be fun. I think the Big Ten's going to be a fun league to watch. I've always felt like it was a good league. I'm really fascinated, and we'll talk about this in the bowl matchups, USC, where they go down this stretch. How do they reach that next level? Because it's going to be on the defensive side of the football if they're going to get there. Fascinated to see how they shake out in the national landscape.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm just going to try to make a few bucks before we get to the Natty and go from there. Scotty, that being said, you ready to jump in?
Ready, man.
As we get ready to record this, we've got the Georgia Southern Buffalo. I don't think we'll have this up before it goes live. I'm on Georgia Southern -4. I feel like they're probably a better team. They kind of fell off a little bit in the back end of the season. But I like Georgia Southern here. We can skip on that. First responder game in Dallas. What's the weather like in Dallas today?
Better. Sunny, nice. Supposed to be in the 50s. So it should be good for Memphis and Utah State. I think Memphis is going to drill these guys.
Give me Memphis -7 in this game. Utah State, it's kind of been a disaster all season long. I'm not sure who's going to play quarterback for them in this spot. They barely snuck into this bowl game. I like Memphis here laying the 7. I don't have any problem with that. You're going to have to pay some juice. It's juiced all the way up to -120. So they're trying to hold that number. Worried, probably got some buyback at 7.5. I like Memphis -7. Moving out to Birmingham, Scotty, Coastal Carolina, Holton Ahlers, Grayson McCall, maybe two of the bigger name quarterbacks that we've seen in Group of Five in a while. Coming into this one, obviously Grayson McCall is going to be transferring. Coastal Carolina will be without Jamie Chadwell. This is not the team that we saw last year or the COVID year. I mean, they're a shell of themselves. Their defense is really bad. I like the over in this one at 66, but I also think East Carolina at -7 is not a bad play.
Yes, my book's got it at 65.5, kind of the same way, but I like East Carolina too. I just think they're the better football team. I think their defense is what wins it. I think that's where they have an edge, is they're better on that side of the ball than Coastal Carolina is. I think East Carolina's going to be able to score, and I think that defense for East Carolina is going to be able to slow down McCall enough to make it a cover.
Let's go out west this evening. Oklahoma State, Wisconsin. Line opens up at 3.5. Over-unders at 45. Both of these teams will be without their starting quarterbacks, as Spencer Sanders and Graham Mertz have either opted out or are in the transfer portal. Jim Leonard will be coaching his last game as the interim Wisconsin head football coach. I'm going to roll with Oklahoma State here, and I also like a first half under. I don't know what you're going to get from these offenses. Both of these teams have kind of underperformed. Wisconsin battled back after letting Chris go. Has Jim Leonard landed a job yet?
Didn't I see he went to Nebraska? Am I dreaming that?
I feel like I heard that, but he's coaching tonight.
He is. Yeah, I will Google it as well. I meant to look this up for sure. But I can't remember where he landed. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. It's going to be interesting to see what, where Leonard does end up. So I'll get to that as we get a moment. I don't have much on this game. I think your first half under is probably a good play. These games have been pretty low scoring in the first half a good bit. Seems like a chance to win some money as you go forward. And I think a lot of that has got to do with so many opt-outs and so many guys playing, that haven't gotten a ton of snaps. Takes them a little while to find that rhythm. Coaches finding out what works, what the kids can do. I think it takes them a little bit of time. So I think that first half under is a good way to play that.
Got that one rolling. First half under's been fairly profitable through bowl season if you've been paying attention to it. So there's definitely some chances that are out there. UCF and Duke. Games at -3, 3.5 is pretty much what you're seeing there. I really like Duke in this one. The backup quarterback for UCF is gone. Mikey's out. Reese Plumlee's coming back from a hamstring injury. Those typically take 3 to 4 weeks. We're right at the 3-week mark. And I haven't seen any news that's confirmed he's 100% and he's going to play. And so when I'm looking at this game, this Duke team plays fast, played well this season, I think overperformed from what expectations were. Excuse me, I like Elko in this one. I like Duke in this spot. I think they're going to come in fired up, ready to rock and roll, and get this win against UCF. If I knew Reese Prumley was playing regular, I would probably roll with them. But I like Duke in this spot, laying a small number. Let's go to Blue Devils.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see what Plumlee does on this. Otherwise, I will probably bet UCF. But I do agree with you. I think Duke's going to be fired up to play. And that does matter in these bowl games. Who cares about being there?
Speaking of momentum, let's talk about this next game. Arkansas against Kansas. Kansas here getting 2.5 to 3. Arkansas is laying 2.5. Over-under is at 68.5. You want to talk about two teams that have different motivation factors going at this point. Don't you think Kansas has got to be the motivation monster in this one?
Oh, I think a ton. I think Kansas is going to be fired up to be there. I think these kids are excited. I don't know how excited Arkansas is. Arkansas's got a lot of people in the portal.
There's two kids starting at linebacker in this game that don't have a registered tackle in college football. They do not have a tackle.
And then you mix in Catalan is who really made that defense go. He's gone and in the portal.
Yeah.
After getting hurt during the season.
Slusher's gone. Their
backup quarterback hit the road. He's hitting the portal, so it's going to be interesting to see how the backup quarterback played a ton. Yeah. He came in on a lot of downs, did some things like he played as a motion back. They bring him in, do some different things to kind of mix it up. He's who started against Mississippi State, so it'll be it's going to be interesting to see what this Arkansas offense looks like if they can't just line up and pound Kansas. So I am fascinated to watch this game. I think I'll take Kansas here just from just what you said about Duke and excitement level, and then how much is out on Arkansas. How many people they've got in the portal, leaving, et cetera.
Yeah, I really like Kansas in this spot. And the other thing, too, is Leopold's 4-1 ATS in bowl games since he's been coaching. And I think if you watch Kansas's offense with all the motion and reverses, you know, inside sweep, there's a lot of different things that this offense do that causes problems. You're trying to get ready for this in a shortened period where you've had to deal with the portal, you've had to deal with signing day, you've had to deal with opt-outs, you've had to deal with coach moves. Hell, their defensive coordinator's gone. He's now the defensive coordinator at UNLV and Barry Odom. So I don't know who's getting them ready for this week against Kansas. Give me Kansas is one of my biggest plays. I really like this game going into it.
Yeah, me too.
North Carolina and Oregon out west. Ooh, man. Lions 14.5. Over-under sitting right around 75 across the board. I got nothing here. At 14.5, I kind of want some North Carolina, but Phil Longo's gone for North Carolina. Downs has already opted out. Dillingham, the offensive coordinator at Oregon's gone. The defensive backfield for North Carolina, I know I'm giving you all this at one time, is pretty much all gone for this game. And then Oregon's got their top edge rusher and their top cornerback have both opted out for this one. So I would tell you if you're going to play it, I'd go over, but 75 is a shit ton of points.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder, first half under.
You got to love a good first half under. It's a great bet. But I got nothing on this one. I mean, I'm glad to see Mays coming back, and I think it's going to be a lot of points, but I got nothing here.
You got to have 5 TDs in the first half.
Yeah, that's a lot.
More than 5 TDs to lose that.
Yeah. That's typically the telltale sign of anything in a primetime spot. Ole Miss, Texas Tech. Line here is – Ole Miss is laying 3.5. Over-under is 70-71. What's your play here, my friend?
Under 71. I think every time I tried to bet the over on Tech, I got pounded. And it was pretty much that way with the Rebels, too. They were under a ton. I think they do it here. I think this is very much like a home game for Tech. I think there's going to be a lot of people there. I think they get I think it's going to be a well-attended bowl game.
Yeah, it should be.
And because Ole Miss got a lot of fans in Texas, too. So I think it's going to be a well-attended bowl game, and I think it'll be a kind of a rowdy environment. I think it'll take them a little while to get rolling. Rebels got a lot of guys in the portal too, as always. So they've got guys out. And I like Big Tech is going to play well, especially in the first half. I think Tech's going to cover this line too. I could easily see Ole Miss winning this ball game, but I think it's going to be a good football game. I'm going to take the under in this game.
I like it. Under in the Texas Tech Ole Miss game. A little contrarian, but I'm going to ride with you. Minnesota and Syracuse. I got nothing here. Don't you have a play on this one?
I like Minnesota. I think they're going to drill the Cuse. But this game is, you know, certainly not my favorite, so I would not get it. Now, you're going to get – I'm going to roll right into a game I do like next. But I do like Minnesota here, laying the points.
So next game you got, I'm guessing you're talking about the Oklahoma-Florida State game. Over-under here is 66. Line opened up at 8, moved all the way up to 9.5, Florida State.
Yep. I've got it at 9. I like Florida State. I think they're going to beat Oklahoma. Florida State's been playing better. I think Norvell's doing a good job down there. Can he keep it on the rails? We'll see. But I think the biggest challenge for Mike Norvell is going to be what happens with Deion in Colorado. You let Deion start winning 9-10 games in Colorado, he better be winning 10 or 11 at Florida State, or they might decide to try to bring primetime home. So be interesting to see how that works out. But I think they win this game comfortably tonight.
Interesting spot. Texas and Washington will be playing the Alamo Bowl. Line here is -3.5, over-under 67.5. Give me the over. This game's going to be a play in the dome. It's going to be perfect conditions. I think you're going to see some big-time explosion from both of these offenses that are here. This game, it's almost always seems like it's got a lot of offense in it. I like the offense here. I think you're going to get, you know, the top players are going to – a lot of top players are going to play for these two teams. Quarterbacks are going to play, which is a big part of it. I'm going to go over 67.5 in this one.
Yeah, I like that play as well. I'd probably lean toward Washington in the points if I'm on that number, but I like the over here as well.
Oh, goodness. You got anything on the Maryland-NC State game? Lines at 1.5 to a pick'em. Over-unders at 46.5. I got nothing there.
Nothing. I got nothing.
I mean, I'm interested to see what NC State's new quarterback's going to do. How wild is that, man? You got three kids that were preseason Heisman hopefuls at quarterback that all ended up in the portal that transferred out.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes that fast, man. It's anyway. So yeah, we got that going on there. Pittsburgh and UCLA playing in El Paso, Texas. Good story here. Guy I grew up with is the head basketball coach at UTEP. I was visiting his family back in Dallas, Fort Worth area for the holidays. And there were three Pittsburgh players that got stuck and couldn't catch a flight to El Paso so they could make the practice for the bowl game. And so old coach Joe Golding picked him up, loaded him in his car with his family, and drove him 11 hours from Dallas to El Paso so they could make it to the game. Pittsburgh comes in here getting 5 against UCLA, and the over-under is 53.5. I would lean to the under in this one, especially in the first half. It's going to be a golder. I just can't see UCLA wanting to be at this game at all.
Me either. I mean, LA to El Paso.
Yeah.
It's quite the scenery shift.
Oh, God. I mean,
won't be 8 UCLA fans at this game. I mean, hell, they can't get them to drive to Pasadena. How in the hell are they going to get them to El Paso? The only people that will be there are parents.
Yeah, that's probably true. You know, the last time I was at this game was a hundred years ago. I actually saw Pitt play against Texas A&M, and it snowed while we were at the game. Oh, God, what was the quarterback's name for Pittsburgh? If I told you, you'd remember. But anyway, yeah, somehow I've seen Pitt play in this game like 3 times. This will be the 3rd time here. But I'm going first half under in the Pitt-UCLA game. I see very little motivation for both these teams to be there. You got some opt-outs on that Pitt offense as well. Nard Dog, I think, will just rely on his defense. The UCLA defense is actually pretty good as well. So I'm going to go first half under in this one. Number's going to be 26 and a half, 27. Might see if I can find a 28 as we get closer to game time. I doubt I will, but I like the first half under. Next game we got on Friday, South Carolina, Notre Dame. Over-under's 52 and a half. Notre Dame's laying 2. I'm going to lean Irish here, but I don't have a hard play in this one yet.
I don't have a hard play in this. I just do not like Notre Dame's best offensive players out. How are they going to move the football without Mayer? I mean, the tight end is a guy who can really make it go for them. I just question what this offense is going to be able to do without him. But South Carolina, man, you talk about a team I have not believed in all year. And I ain't going to start in the bowl season either. I mean, Lord, Spencer Rattler's talking about going pro. Is there a dude that less understands what it takes to be an NFL quarterback who has the potential to be an NFL quarterback than Spencer Rattler? Probably. Dude, you are so far from needing to go to the draft, it's hard for me to explain. That even left your mouth tells me you have no concept of how much better you need to get.
You do love you. I think Beamer's done a good job at South Carolina, though.
I think he's doing a great job. I think he's doing a tremendous job.
I think literally going in – at some point last year, I think some people thought, okay, we're going to end up having to run this guy out. He's done a pretty good job at South Carolina. I mean, he started a fucking manager.
And Mark, had a great recruiting class. Had the best recruiting class they've had in years.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see where the Cocks are going to go here. But now I will say this. The power run game for Notre Dame is something they did have to lean on a lot this season. They've got a three-headed monster in the running back game. Yep. It could cause them some problems here. I'll go first half under if I'm going to play it because I don't know how prepared both these teams are, but I got nothing hard on this one. Same thing on the next game, Wyoming, Ohio. I've loved Ohio's story. Obviously, they couldn't finish off the season here, but with Rourke out at quarterback, over-unders at 42 and a half, I really have no idea what you're going to get from both of these teams.
Yeah, I'm out on this game. I'm out on this game. As I love Ohio, and look, you can bet Greg Bowl. He's won some ball games. I mean, they play good defense, keep games tight. You can win some money generally betting him. But I'm out on this ball game. I got nothing.
Clemson, Tennessee, Friday afternoon. Clemson's laying 5.5. Tennessee. Over-under 63 and a half, excuse me. I'm leaning Clemson here with Klubnik, but I don't like all these points, so I haven't decided if I'm going to play this game or not.
Yeah, I'm waffling on this game. My gut tells me to take Tennessee 5.5 just because Milton's played a lot, and I think has a chance, especially with, a couple of weeks of practice to keep this offense moving enough. That Clemson offense has trouble keeping up. But is that Tennessee defense even good enough? It's not to be a score fest. Yeah. So that's kind of where I struggle, watching this ball game. But I'm with you. I think that may be too many points. Tennessee 5.5 is probably where I'd ride. I was hoping Uncle Lele would stay because they would feel obligated to play him, and then I would for sure have bet Tennessee.
Oh, man. I'm going to be so pissed next year if I'm sitting here betting Oregon State games and he's still playing. I don't know what it is with that guy, but I feel like I just lose money when I bet around that kid. Anyway, moving on. That's next year. Here's going to be a barn burner. Iowa, Kentucky. Iowa -2. Over-under here is 31.5. Will Levis has opted out for this one. Iowa's offense opted out before the season started. The entire offense just opted out. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's I got nothing here.
I mean, hell, they're down to their third or fourth team quarterback.
Yeah.
Because they got the Michigan transfer coming in to play quarterback. I mean, I will tell you, I'll lose $100 just for fun. I'm putting $100 only under just because I want to bet under 31.5. That's a first half number for most teams in college football. Not a ball game. Yeah. I was like, did I print off the first half numbers? I mean, 31.5, that's a service academy number.
Yeah.
That's... I mean, just brutal. Cavassier Smoke's gone too.
Yeah.
Or Kentucky, I think this is a slugfest. I think it's nasty. I think they just pound on each other. I'll take under 31.5 just for fun.
I think Chris Rodriguez has opted out too, hadn't he?
I think he has. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's
good. I mean, you talk about no offense. This game has got no offense.
All right, Scotty, let's get to some games people are actually going to care about and watch. Kansas State and Alabama, this is going to be a good game, I think. Kansas State overperformed what anybody expected this season. Came in here, they won the Big 12 championship. I think Klieman has done one hell of a good job coming into this program, putting an offense in place that they can run. Obviously, we saw it go this year with Adrian Martinez, and we saw Will Howard go with it as well. If you haven't paid attention yet, they've got one of the most exciting players in the country and one of the best running backs in Deuce Vaughn. My man is 5'6", bro, and he just gets it done. Gritty-ass defense that this team has. It's got a workmanship type attitude that they play with. Alabama underperforming this season coming in here. A lot of people had this team thought that they would be the best team in the country, and they probably should have a chance to go on and play for the national championship. Obviously, after losing two games, they were not afforded that opportunity. Interesting when we look at Alabama is they have come into this spot many times. We've seen many SEC teams come into this spot and not give a shit about playing in this bowl game. But if you look at Alabama's roster, other than the kids that have already hit the portal and transferred, you haven't seen the opt-out big names, the Will Andersons, the Bryce Young in this one, which is leading you to believe Bama may be excited about playing in this game. Scotty, what are we going to get when this matchup takes place?
Well, this I will definitely wait to bet and confirm that Anderson and Young are going to play, because that's a big deal. I think Anderson's less of a deal than Young, candidly. Yeah. I think Bryce Young's a big deal.
Yeah, I agree.
He plays in this ball game, and all indications are he is. Then I think Bama's going to win this football game, and I think they're going to cover. I think they overcome it's hard to line up. It's going to be hard for them, I believe, to line up and run the football on Alabama the way they need to run the football and move the football and control the clock. I think they're going to have trouble doing that, even though this isn't a great Alabama defense against the run. So I like Bama here if Young and Anderson are playing. Looks like Gibbs is out. There's obviously some people bailing for Bama. So they're not all hands on deck. But I do think that Bama covers if Young plays. He's out. I'm going to bet the brakes off of Kansas State.
So that'll be a game.
Because I have watched the SEC lay turd after turd after turd. Hell, last year, that's the first time an SEC team had even shown up
right
when Ole Miss was playing Baylor in this game in years.
Yeah.
I mean, there has been some just – I mean, you remember, was it Auburn and Oklahoma when they just beat the dog out of Auburn that year? I mean, just – and Bama went in there a couple of times and just got shit. I don't even mean early when Utah beat them when Saban was first taking over. I mean, that next time that they played in the Sugar Bowl and they weren't in the playoff – / Natty, they got destroyed. I think it was Oklahoma that just drilled them. And at the end of the day, I've watched the SEC just not be ready to play in this ball game a ton. And so, but if Young's playing, I think they do show up. I think they do cover. So that's a critical deal for me. It's a game day bet for me on Saturday. But that's what I'll be looking at.
Let's skip the two semifinal games and circle back to those. Mississippi State, Illinois will be playing on January the 2nd. This line's pretty much a pick'em. At some places, Mississippi State -1. Over-under's painted 46 across the board. Obviously, you've got an Illinois team that wants to run the rock. This is one of the top rushing offenses in the country. But defensively is where this team really stood up and made people take notice. Nobody expected Illinois to be in this spot coming into the season. I think Burt Bielema is doing one heck of a good job. You got Mississippi State coming in here after the sad news of losing Mike Leach. The defensive coordinator, Zach Arnett, will be promoted, and he'll be the play. You know, he'll be coaching this game, so he'll be the new head coach in this one. Mississippi State's got to be coming in with all kinds of emotional momentum after what's gone on there. I'm excited to watch this game. Are those unis that I've seen on Twitter, are they going to wear those helmets with the pirate flag, or is that
just no idea. You know what? I need to ask that. I'll ask. I've got a buddy on staff that will tell me what we're wearing. I don't think so. That's just a dude with the pirate flag who just puts, like, he does cowbells. And he, like, does a – now, I think he's starting to sell his cowbells with that emblem or something similar to it, because that's actually an infringement on the Bucks logo, because he even said that. But it's something similar to that that he's starting to sell cowbells. But so, no, I'm not expecting that. I am expecting them to do something, obviously, fairly significant. The easiest thing would be for them to wear jerseys that say State across it, because Leach was always wearing that T-shirt on the sideline that just said State. That would not surprise me, them doing something like that. I think there's a lot to get through. Bottom line is, team's fired up about Arnett. Zach Arnett was, I think, very well received. I think Mississippi State handled this as good as you could possibly handle it in the loss. I know I mentioned that the last time. I think the team is bought in. As I mentioned, there's some guys in the portal talking about coming back, because they actually, the offense and defense, respect Zach Arnett. And so I think they get a good effort in this bowl game. That's fully what I'm expecting. And as you know, that's half the battle in these bowl games. Now, I think Illinois is obviously going to give good effort. So I do think this is going to be a good game. Going to be a low-scoring game. I just think State has just a little more firepower than does Illinois on the offensive side of the football. Also, losing the defense coordinator for Illinois is kind of a big deal. And how do they play defensively with him out? So that'll be interesting to see. It's not like Mississippi State's going to be surprised by the quality of defense they face. In this team, they face those kinds of athletes and good players every week. Yep. So it'll be interesting. Illinois' DB is opted out, is my understanding. Mississippi State has not had very many opt-outs. I'm stunned Emmanuel Forbes is playing. I mean, I think that guy's going to go to the combine and blow it up. He's not a big kid. That kid's got a lot of ability. That he was not a Thorpe finalist, candidly, is a joke. But that kid's a player. He didn't opt out, kind of surprised. Got tons of guys coming back that are going to play 6 years next year. So I think there's a lot of momentum with Arnett coming in. That's the reason I like the Bulldogs. I'll take Mississippi State here in this ballgame.
I like Mississippi State in this one. I agree with you. I think they're going to come in wanting to win this game. It's going to be a big deal. Talking about the State jersey, Dana Hologram. How about him getting him a bowl win and a cover, rocking the Mississippi State shirt on the sideline was fantastic. The only thing better than that was the fat guy with the mullet that went out and became a Twitter sensation to retrieve the tee. Hawk, did you see that guy?
For Houston? Oh, yeah. How fabulous was that? And I love the announcer. Just laughing. Wasn't that Dave Neal?
Yeah.
He's just laughing. He's just like, this is awesome. I mean, he's just like, this is the best thing I've seen all year. Yeah. That guy to pro wrestle, he is missing a calling. I mean, that guy... Is it that hair? It's just the role, and he could go into the ring every day doing that. He is missing a golden opportunity if he doesn't go into wrestling.
Side note, before I forget, there's a good documentary on the Peacock channel about Ric Flair. So, I mean, and how much of Ric Flair culture it permeates through all of the sporting world now in rap music and everything else. And I thought about you with your Ric Flair comments you've been using for years. You know, if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man. And so it's a good hour, 20-minute watch on Ric Flair. Anyway, all right, I like Mississippi State there. We're both on it. Let's play Mississippi State. Maybe we'll get a pick 'em, but I like them to get this emotional win. Next game, super interesting, Cotton Bowl. Tulane and USC. USC, as you would imagine, has got a ton of opt-outs, players that are moving on in different directions. Tulane does not have any. These kids are excited to be there. I cannot imagine that USC is going to risk an injury in this one with the quarterback playing, as they'll have him probably sitting out because he's got another year. He's going to come back next year. But I can't imagine playing him. I haven't found any news that's anything about that. I'm going to sit and wait, but I just – USC obviously on paper has got better athletes, and that's not a secret to it. But Tulane's going to come in with a ton of emotion in this one, trying to get this win. I may look for a first half play, but I don't have a strong opinion on this one just yet.
Yeah, I mean, just from a skill standpoint, QB plays, I feel like SC covers covers this number. I mean, it's one and a half,
yeah,
two on some books. I feel like they ought to cover this number, but you're right. Don't underestimate wanting to play. But, I mean, the talent level is just in on turf, that offense, just how fast they are. I just have a hard time believing that that Tulane defense is going to have the speed to keep up with what they need to do. I mean, look, Lincoln Riley's been able to score some points against really good Georgia and Alabama defenses.
Right.
And I understand this Tulane defense is good, but, man, he's been able to make some hay. And, I mean, minus Roquan Smith making a great play, they beat Georgia that year in the Rose Bowl. I on turf, man, it is hard for me to believe SC didn't cover this ball game, but Tulane's going to be there, going all hands on deck. And at bowl season, it matters. And, I mean, does SC really care?
Yeah, I don't know. And like I said, if Caleb Williams plays, it's a
– that's a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, that line will be moving. You'll know if he's playing because that line will start moving so fast you won't be able to catch up to it. But the USC defense is bad. I mean, there's nothing good about it.
They do create turnovers.
They do create some turnovers. And, I mean, there are some athletes out there. And so I'm going to lean USC here in a small number just because I think just in raw ability, if they decide to get off the bus and play, this is going to be a better team to beat this Tulane team. But kudos to Willie Fritz and Tulane. Last two games before we circle back, LSU laying 15 against a Purdue team that's not going to have a whole lot on the sideline when they play this one. A lot of steam in this one for LSU. Now you're starting to see some buyback from the Purdue standpoint. I don't have a big play on this one. Our buddy that played at Purdue is like, load up on LSU. We're not going to have anybody out there that can play. I think there is a big talent gap between these two teams. I would lean LSU, but that's a ton of points.
That's a ton of points. My gut tells me that's too many points for this LSU team. We'll see. I don't have a huge play on this. Purdue's just got so many guys out that it is hard to get on board with this. But, at the same time, LSU needs that momentum. You know, Kelly, every game matters.
Yeah.
And he's still building a program. And so I do think the kids that play for them are motivated to play. So this is probably a pass for me.
Next one, we got Utah, Penn State. Lines at 52, 52 and a half is the total. Utah laying 2.5. I'm going to go Penn State here. I like Penn State getting the points in this one. I feel like this is kind of a Penn State team nobody really paid attention to most of the season. But if you go back and statistically look at this team, it overperformed from what I thought it was going to when I had them slated early on. Utah, to me, has never quite gotten to where I thought they were going to be. And that started week one against Florida. And so and the other thing, too, is Dalton Kincaid, the Utah All-World corner tight end, he's not going to play. And then Utah's had some pretty substantial opt-outs and transfer portal guys jump in here. And so I would lean Penn State getting 2.5 in this one.
Yeah, I kind of like Penn State here. It just feels like they've been a better football team throughout the year. So I like Penn State here, but, again, not a huge number for me.
New Year's Eve, TCU and Michigan will match up. This game's going to be played in Phoenix, Arizona. Line here is Michigan minus 7.5. Over-under is pretty much 58.5, 59 that we've got in this one. Interesting game. You got a TCU team nobody expected to be in this spot. Only losing one game in the conference championship to Kansas State in overtime. You've got a Michigan team that you could argue a lot of people didn't think would be in this spot either. They thought last year was maybe just a little flash in the pan and then we'd be back to Ohio State getting things done as normal. But Michigan went on to win the Big Ten and have a good season. The Michigan offense is a lot more explosive than what most people probably believe it is if you haven't watched it all season long. Defensively, this team's solid as a rock, bro. TCU on the flip side, Max Duggan, and he's got some stars out there at the he's got some stars on the skill position, Quentin Johnson and running backs that are there. I mean, they've got some mad talent. Sonny Dykes has done a good job here. Here's why I like Michigan in this spot. I think the Michigan defensive front seven is going to give TCU some problems. TCU's offensive line has been slow at times. It's Duggan has pulled these guys out because he's able to stay mobile, keep it moving around. But I think the biggest part, I think the Michigan front seven is going to give TCU some problems that they haven't had to deal with all season. This will be the best defensive, outside of Kansas State, this will be the best defensive unit this team's probably seen. It's probably going to be the most physical team that this team has seen. And so TCU's pulled a rabbit out of a hat many, many times this season. I bet on them on the season win total, and then I tried to buy back on some games along the way and didn't make any money. I'm going to lean Michigan -7.5 in this one here.
And I am on the favorite, so I'll just cut through the suspense. I am on Michigan here. I think they have been able to run the football on anyone they played. And what I didn't expect was their ability to throw the football down the field when you stack the box to stop the run against them. And I think that defense is better than at Ohio State is very talented, but also think it's well coached. But they were able to control that ball game on the road. This is a very benign environment, and there's going to be no conditions to have to deal with. I think that does help TCU a little bit. But I believe they're just better physically at the line of scrimmage than TCU. And I think that's where they win the ball game. I think they're going to win this ball game on the offensive side of the football, controlling the ball game and being able to run the football. I think TCU's going to have trouble stopping them. They're going to have to commit extra guys. If they can commit and get a big play or two down the field to loosen up that defense, then this ball game's not close, very much like it was with Ohio State. I think we get into a very similar situation of what we have with Ohio State when Michigan and Ohio State played as when Michigan and TCU are playing. I think they're going to get that big play or two that's going to force that defense to loosen up. And in the second half, they control the football. Running the football takes the football out of TCU's hands, and they just simply aren't able to mount the comeback that they've done continually throughout the year.
Interesting. I'm agreeing with you here. I think it's been a great story for TCU. I just think this is where the road ends. This Michigan team looks solid to me. And they've gotten better and better each week. I do think it's going to be good to have TCU get some weeks off to heal up and recover, because they went, 11 weeks in a row having to play games. And so I do not think this game is going to be a blowout and TCU is going to be left for dead. I think it's going to be a close game. I just think Michigan is going to be able to wear them out and probably win this game by 10 points before it's all over with. Georgia, Ohio State. This one's interesting to me. Georgia -6.5, over under 62. I've seen this thing hit 7, and then there was some buyback in this one. But I'm on chalk here, man. I've seen Georgia play in person. I've watched them, and now having gone back through and watched both of these teams play most of their games during this offseason, I think this Georgia team is going to cause all kinds of problems for this Ohio State football team. And I like the chalk in this one here. I think Georgia's the best team in the country. There's a reason they're favored by this. I personally think they're going to kind of blow Ohio State out. I won't be surprised they don't win by 17 points.
There's two things I want to point out. Don't forget how the SEC's manhandled the Big Ten in these ball games a lot lately. And you take out that Ohio State win against Alabama in what was that, 14? The 14 season. That's otherwise, man, when the SEC and the Big Ten have tied up in these games, they've kind of gotten their ass kicked. And this Georgia football team's legit.
Oh, yeah.
And I think those tight ends are going to create all kinds of problems from a matchup standpoint, as they do for everyone, whether it's running or passing the football. I think Stetson Bennett is highly underrated as a game manager. He's clearly not the most talented kid on the field, but he doesn't make that many mistakes. And I think that is the difference. I think Georgia, you just need to not mess up what Kirby Smart's got going. And I just like this football team. I think they are very, very good. I think their defensive tackle / nose guard is probably the best player on the field. If he's not, then their tight end, one of their tight ends is. Ohio State was fool's gold to me. They could have very easily, I shouldn't say should, very easily could have lost that Notre Dame game. Notre Dame's an average football team. They're an average football team. And they should have probably, or very easily could have lost that ball game. And they got drilled when they played Michigan.
Right.
Those were both home games. It is hard for me to believe that now they're going on the road, because make no mistake, this is going to be a road game. It's in the Peach Bowl. this is going to be a rowdy environment. This does not set up well for them. And the bottom line is, I think they could be playing at Ryan Day's house with his wife, the head official, and they wouldn't cover seven. I think they may get drilled.
Yeah, you're right about it being a home game. I know Ohio State will get their allotment of tickets, but the season ticket holders.
Look, it's a huge school, rich kid. Yeah. I mean, big business school. They're going to have tons of people there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a home game for Georgia.
It's 100% going to be a home game for Georgia. And you're going to feel it in that environment. We were there at the SEC championship game, and it wasn't like Georgia was even excited. It's like they showed up knowing, hey, we're just going to win this game as on our steps to go win the national championship. There was not that feel that we were in a giant SEC championship game. And a lot of that was because LSU had lost that game to Texas A&M, and so that game kind of didn't matter at this point. But, yeah, I think Georgia comes in here, takes care of business, covers this game. I don't see Ohio State being able to stay in this one at all. Like I said, this one, I would be more shocked Ohio State winning this game than I would be if TCU wins the game against Michigan. Because I don't see Ohio State being able to stay in this game with Georgia.
I agree with you. I got one question for you
yep.
about this kind of rewinding. Does LSU, if they beat Georgia and hadn't lost to Texas A&M, and they beat Georgia in that ball game, would they have made the playoffs over? I think it's very likely they get in.
I think if LSU would have beaten A&M and would have beaten Georgia, we would have probably be watching a Georgia, Michigan, LSU, TCU final.
I think so too. I think so too.
And I think LSU losing that game and then obviously with injuries but whatnot, but that's what I would have gone for, yeah.
I think so too. It's interesting. And look, I do not think they're one of the best four teams in the country. I really don't. I think Ohio State's probably better than they are.
Probably, yeah.
Having said that, it would have been fascinating to see. I agree with you about Georgia. This is what they've been playing for. And, man, I just can't get past how much they dominated Michigan last year when they played them.
True.
And I understand it's not the same football team. I understand it's different. But I will never forget early in that ball game. I think it was Georgia's second drive, and they run a toss. And Aiden Hutchinson is the corner, and that tackle for Georgia just stretches him out, and then boom, just pancakes him. First thing that hit the ground was his nameplate on the back of his jersey, and I was like, "Well, this ball game's over." And I was watching with a group of people, and I was like, "What do you mean?" I said, if you got a first rounder getting his ass kicked like that on the corner, I was like, this game's over. I was like, you need to bet whatever you can bet in line on Georgia. They're fixing to truck these dudes. And they did. I think that's exactly what we're going to get Saturday. I think Ohio State's a really good football team. I think they're talented on the offensive side of the football. I question Ryan, and I know this sounds strange, I'm questioning his ability in these big ball games.
You know, that's – a big topic of conversation up there now is, you know, he was kind of born on third base with this program. And
yeah.
And you're looking at it now like, well, you know, we haven't won the thing yet since he's been here. We've had some good teams and we've put some players in the draft, but we haven't won the big deal yet. And so I think
I loved it. I love that they always go back to that he can recruit and sign players more. Hell, you're Ohio State. Hell yeah, you're going to sign players. If you're not, you ought to fire the dude right away. If you're not finishing the top five or six in recruiting every year, you should be fired. Ohio State is a tremendous job. It is unquestionably one of the five biggest jobs in America.
Yeah.
You cannot make the argument it's not one of the five biggest jobs in America. So, to your point, can he coach?
I don't know.
Recruit. But hell, is it Ohio State recruiting or is it him? You know, so there's a lot of questions starting to surround Ryan Day.
If it doesn't,
big game for him.
Yeah, if it doesn't show well in this first game or this game here, you'll start to hear some murmurings. I mean, I don't think they'll fire him after this season, but I definitely think that he will be the only coach in the country whose seat will be mildly warm that has a career total of like seven losses, though. I mean, he's got like an 85, he's got like a 92% winning percentage, and people are bitching that maybe this isn't the right guy. So I don't
know. He's going to have made the playoff. Yeah. He's going to have gone undefeated in the Big 12, the Big 10 a couple times, and he's
yeah.
on the hot seat.
What a shithead. I wouldn't want that guy at all taking over my program. what an asshole. You know, it's like, but no, that is true. I've been listening to some folks kind of Twitter about that kind of stuff. But anyway, Scotty, the bowls are going to be fun. We'll put all the plays up. Everybody go out. I would not suggest overloading yourselves on any one game because there's probably still news to come out on some of these. My favorite play is similar to yours. Lions already moved on a couple of them. I like Florida State laying the number at 8.5. I like Duke laying the number. Somebody must have put a release out on that game since we started recording the podcast because that number's moving. Looks like somebody may have put a release out on Wisconsin because that number's starting to move a little bit. So you're getting some line movement. You're getting some action in there. And I love Kansas.
I like Kansas getting three in this one.
I think this game's going to cause some problems for these guys. And so, yeah, I think there's still a lot of entertaining football left. We'll roll this through. Well, Scotty and I will be back with you after the first of the year as we'll have one game left to talk about, which will be the national championship. And I'm hoping it's going to be a Michigan-Georgia game, and then I'm going to figure out how I'm going to hedge this ticket I've got on Michigan to win the national championship at 20 and 25 to 1. That being said, Scotty, that's all I got.
Gotta love it. So, I'm ready to get rolling, man. Time for New Year's. Let's get some football going.
Sounds good. Everybody be safe if you're traveling, and we'll be back at you soon. Look forward to talking to you.